Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
Good evening. This is Dr. Philip Landis, known to all you Menha as Chief Cloud Biler, and I'm here with Jonathan Landis, who is Chief Wella Mutkin, and this is Menha News. Welcome again to another evening of discussions about natural medicine. And we're very excited to be here. This is a new medium for us, and we're loving it. And we feel like we fit right in, so we're just gonna dive right in our subject tonight. One of the things I hear about in my practice and in talking to people out there around the country is all the faddish things that, you know, hit the country. It seems like, you know, I've been around long enough to see the fads as they transition. And it's like they're on a 5-year sort of a alarm clock.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you get through a fad, 2 or 3 years of a fad, and then it kind of winds down. Everybody makes enough, as much money as they possibly can off of it. And then you lose it for a little while. And then about 5 years, just about on every 5 to 7 years, you'll see a resurrection of the fad. And this is what's kind of going on again. Right now, the big ones, I mean, you can hardly turn around. You can hardly listen to any radio show or like this one or go into any health food store and not see something about probiotics.
Ooh, we love this one.
Yeah. Probiotics is a good subject to talk about because as a naturopath myself, I know the incredible value of a balanced microbiome in the body. And you know, even the companies that are selling these probiotics don't understand a lot. I mean, what is a probiotic? When you think of probiotics, or when you talk to somebody about probiotics, what's the first assumption about them that comes to your head?
They live in your gut?
They live there. Yeah. Well, how'd they get there?
Well, nobody asks.
Well, you know, for one thing, most Americans, when you say probiotic, they think lactobacillus, because that's what's in yogurt, right?
Lactobifidus.
Right, yeah, the lactobacilli. Well, those come from nursing. Isn't that where they come from?
Yeah, supposedly.
Well, no, not really. They actually come from the surface of the mother's skin, and she gets those from the soil. You know, they were first studied among cattle and horses, and how the young calf ingests its first lactobacillus is not because it's a lactating calf, but rather because it takes it on from the teats of its mother as it lactates. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the very important probiotics that we get in our bodies. And okay, what is it for? What are the lactobacilli for in the gut?
Well, it should be self-evident. Lactobacillus.
Yeah, that's the first assumption. Okay. We need these things to digest milk, right?
Because Mr. Obvious.
It's not true, though. Actually, Mr. Obvious. Lactobacilli are really more important to balancing the other biome, the other microorganisms in the gut, than they are for, you know, digesting lactose. For example, when a child gets a bad case of the runs, diarrhea, you give them lactobacilli. Is that because they need to be able to better digest milk while they have diarrhea? Well, not really, because, you know, it's really kind of wise not to give milk at all
during diarrhea.
While you have diarrhea, right?
No.
When you've got the runs, you're not drinking milk, but you need more bacilli, you need more probiotic that's designed to digest milk. Well, not so. The lactobacilli, the bifidus and the lactobacillus
Streptococcus and the Lactobacillus, this and that, are really regulators for the gut flora, all the gut flora. So when we're talking about gut flora, is that just one or two things? Because you look at some of these products that you can go down to, you know, your health food store or your pharmacy, or Walmart, or wherever you go. Usually they don't have very many. I mean, the big fad now is to have lots and lots and lots of them, and millions and millions and millions, billions and trillions and trillions. But you look at the, of individual organisms, obviously.
Yeah.
But you look at the list of the probiotic, and there's still only, you know, 14, 15, 16 at the most different species.
That's what I was going to say. One product I saw recently, it was a high quality, quote, high quality, probiotic.
He does the quote in the air.
Absolutely,
air quote.
On the radio. Awesome.
Yeah.
But it's about 16 probiotic ingredients within three categories. Three species.
Just three subspecies.
16 varieties within three species.
So how many species groups are there in the body? When we talk about the total body biome, or the probiotic, again, air quotes, the probiotic in the body that's naturally there, that really is there to ensure our health, how many groups are there?
Now, are we going off of marketing material or basic anatomy physiology?
Let's go anatomy physiology.
Over 1,000.
Over 1,000 groups of organisms, and the probiotics that were sold have, you know, 16 or so. And those are divided within three or four groups.
Yeah.
Three or four groups. Okay, so even the best that are on the market today, here's the dig, is that if we need a balance of some 1,000 different groups, and who knows how many subgroups are within that, I mean, the numbers just totally get squirrely. If we need them all for balanced probiotic or to balance the biome within our bodies, you know, three or four different groups does not really handle the job. And yet, that little bit is providing some remarkable results in many, many cases. My question is always, however, if with that little bit of stuff we can bring the biome back into balance and achieve good things, how much better would it be to bring the whole biome back into balance? All of the 1,000 groups and the tens of thousands of separate species in their trillions and trillions and trillions in our body, how much better would that be?
Is that a trick question?
It's not a trick question. It's something to really think about.
Yeah.
Something to really, so how? We talk a lot in our practice about radical self-reliant healing. Now, as practitioners, as ministers of healing in the Nemenha, you know, we see people, they come in, they're sick, they don't know what to do. We give them a starting point, and then what we obsess on and what we delight in is we like to send them home with knowledge that they can use at home radically, self-reliantly, so that we're just a helper to them. But what's actually happening to bring them back into balance, bring them back into health and wellness, they do it all at home. So at home, you know, when you go down to your grocery store and you buy three or four types, and you take it home, you're doing the best that you can. I always question this. Okay, you're going to big corporate to get your little organisms. Okay, you're going to big corporate to get your microbes.
Hey, we've worked there.
We've worked at big corporate. You know what? And years ago, I went to big corporate because I was a big deal where I lived. It just so happened that at the time I was president of the Utah Naturopathic Medical Association. Didn't last very long. But, you know, I was. And during that time, companies asked me to come and look over their facilities and check out their processes and endorse, because that name itself, doesn't matter who's in the chair is a big deal,
mm-hmm.
in endorsement. And so I went to a couple of these companies, and at that time, bear in mind this some years ago, so there were not a lot of companies making
what they call the black soil. Black earth is the, or what is the old term used for all the base materials for all the probiotics that was being produced by the Nutrico Mafia, the budding Nutrico Mafia at the time. And frankly, you know, in the well-developed, you know, Nutrico Mafia that exists today, those same manufacturers are still being used. So mm-hmm. I went to several of them, and I took the tour, and I was much more interested in learning what was going on in those hallowed halls than listening to the, you know, the right out of high school. That's not very nice. I was going to say feather-headed secretary with the big hair, but, you know.
She was nice.
She was nice. Well, I tended to detour into the science department and get lost. And on one of these occasions, I got to talk to, you know, some of the actual microbiologists that were building the Black Earth that went into all of these. This is a big commercial firm as a wholesale provider for private labels and corporate labels, and they were selling to just about everybody across the board that were making these new probiotics. And I got to talk into the one cellular biologist that was working there, and I asked him, you know, how do you make this stuff? Because you got to have in a pill, you got to have millions and millions, billions, and who knows how many gazillions of these little things.
Billions. Most of them die before they.
Well, you don't know. I mean, you're not following them with a little nano camera to see if they live or die in the stomach. But, you know, they're designed to live in the gut, so who knows? But to put all of that in a pill, how do you get them there? How do you make this stuff? And he was all right with telling me. I mean, we had kind of built this little bit of a rapport, and I don't know who he thought I was, but it was kind of fun. So we kind of hit it off. We were talking about a lot of different things. And at one point he said, let me show you how we came up with the cultures from which we grow all of these. And first of all, they walked me through the culture area in their great big stainless steel vats, big drums, huge, slowly rolling, and they're heated to a certain temperature, and they're just massive vats of bacteria, huge intestines, he called it. And as we're walking through,
I can just picture it.
Well, yeah, can't you? The great big mechanical intestines. As we're walking through this factory, he said, you know, it's the human and the cow gut that has inspired all of this. And I stood and I looked at that, and he leaned against the rail, and we contemplated a little bit quietly, and I looked at these great big huge vats all moving kind of slowly. Some of them were stationary and percolating. Mm. And I looked at him, I guess I made a face, and he said, oh, yeah, the probiotics. And he didn't actually do the air quotes, but it was almost like understood the quote, probiotic, close quote, you know, and he makes his face, are all resident in the human gut. They're all there, and that's where we need to, that's where they need to reside. That's where they need to live. Now, I had got my naturopathic doctor degree, and I was elected, and I was president of the association for as long as it lasted, and, you know, I was moving up. But even with all my education as a natural healer, I did not know. I was never really educated to know the vastitude of the bacteria that live in us, upon which we absolutely rely, and without which we can't even make certain vitamins, without which we cannot digest at all our foods. When you think about digestion, and you, first of all, you put that Big Mac in your mouth, and you chew, 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 and you get that,
please,
you know, the programmed corporate taste that you're so attached to, that you're so addicted to, and then you swallow that, and of course, Mom told us that digestion begins in the mouth, and that's largely true because there's digestive enzymes in the saliva, right? We're mixing. It's a mixing bowl, and we're homogenating. We're grinding it all together, making it all smaller, and then we swallow it. And in the stomach, it all gets digested in the stomach, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. You're giving me notes or just thinking about it.
Sorry. Wait, think about that. Digestion happens in the stomach. Well, what actually does happen in the stomach? In the actual stomach.
In the stomach.
Not the abdomen stomach where everything else is going on, but just in the organ of the stomach, what's going on?
Technically, it's not actually digestion.
Not yet.
Technically, it's making soup.
Right. It's a mixing bowl, mm-hmm. and you're adding solvents to break things down even smaller. So what you're doing now is you're further homogenizing, mm-hmm. and you're using some acids and some water,
breaking it down
and you're breaking it down into smaller. And the reason we break things down into smaller, because smaller and smaller and smaller units, is because later on in the actual process of digestion, we want maximum surface area exposed to the digestive factors, whether that be the digestive enzymes produced in the liver and the pancreas and the spleen and the gallbladder, or by the enzymes, the digestive and mainly proteolytic enzymes that are produced by the biome of the gut, which isn't even us.
No, but they eat food of a very specific size.
They are designed and have certain enzymes. They're designed to be able to ferment and really break down and begin to digest the larger particles of food. These particles of food and nutrients have to get down as small as they possibly can, smaller even than the bacteria, because they have to pass through the gut into the capillaries of the intestines and into the bloodstream. And until this passes into the capillaries, no digestion actually takes place. The final step of digestion, after the bacteria have digested down to this very small size, the final act of digestion is when it passes into the bloodstream, and even there we have bacteria.
Show's not over, folks.
A biome in the blood and the interstitial fluids that carry those even smaller particles to where they can be, again, digested and broken down into the size necessary to seat into the receptor sites of various types of cells. Then the cells actually eat and digest the nutrients. Digestion happens at a cellular level. So we have this whole digestive system, and the system is designed only to make things smaller. And what is exciting, what is fascinating to me, is that we have evolved so that thousands of different types and groups, tens of thousands of different subgroups of separate species of organisms must live inside us in order for us to accomplish this. That is amazing. So he was explaining all of this to me as he described this vast metal and plastic intestinal system. And as he, in the factory, and as he did, it really began to look like a great, big, huge, 5.5 acre, huge, fat pig laying on the ground, digesting. And when he saw that I got it, he kind of got this little, okay, you got it. He continued, and we continued through the plant to the back of the plant, and we went through some break rooms and, I don't know, you know, locker rooms, and went past sort of bathrooms and stuff in the back and storage rooms, and we get to an outside, I guess it was a stock door. It wasn't even one of the big roll-up doors. It was a door, and we open it up, and there was this, it was about a 4x6 slab of concrete that the door opened onto. We stepped out of the building, actually. Stepped right out of the building, and the door was open, and there was a field back there. The parking lot was in the front where the workers parked, but back there for about, oh, I'd say about an acre or so to a back fence, there was a field. And he pulled out a spoon, a little plastic spoon, out of his front pocket, and he knelt down at the edge of the slab, and he picked up a spoonful of dirt. And he held it up between us, and he said, "This is how I collected the first of the probiotic from which everything in this factory was made." And I was dumbfounded. I was absolutely flabbergasted. What do the British say? They have this term, I was blown away, you know, that from the dirt, gobsmacked.
I was gobsmacked.
I love that term. I was absolutely gobsmacked that from this little plastic spoon of material, everything that was being sold to probably a third of the nation's providers of probiotic at the time, mm-hmm. famous and unknowns together and all alike, came from that tiny little spoon of dirt out that back door. Now, rewind. Rewind back to all the way back to when I was a kid listening to my mother's stories. And I remember her telling this story that when she was a little girl, way back, and I love to tell stories on my grandmother. She was an herbalist and a midwife from the old, in the old way. Mm-hmm. I was going to say from the old country, but no, she's not from the old country. She's up in the mountains of Idaho, between Idaho, Wyoming, and Montana, right up there in the Teton Range. In the spring, they had a lot of snow. And, you know, by the end of spring, or by the end of winter, you had run out of all of your food that you had put up from the garden the year before. You were getting down to the dregs, the last of the, you know, the last of the rotting potatoes, and there weren't any carrots. There were no greens. Your cabbages were long since gone. You were going to your canned goods, and they were getting pretty peaked.
Yeah.
And so when the snow began to go off, and this is before the snow was even gone, it was just starting to melt up in that area. The ground, actually, in areas where the sun makes impact, heats faster than the snow can melt. And so you have snow and you have ground exposed, and the little green things start to pop up, even through the snow, right up through the snow. And she would take her children up into the mud and into the cold and into the snow, and they would pick these green things. And these are the embryonic leaves that are coming up, and you don't even know what those are.
Poison ivy.
It could be. It could have been poison. It could have been
bad stuff. In Missouri.
But yeah, in Missouri it would be. We have poison ivy all over the place, right? But she would take them out there, and they would take pots or bowls, mm-hmm. and they would fill a bowl, each of them, with these tiny little new green things coming up out of the soil in the winter. And she would have them eat right there. Now, I didn't ask the question of my mother why she would eat them right there. But she also told stories about when you'd go out, when she'd take the kids out into the garden, when the things like the carrots were coming up and the peas and the cabbages and the spinach, and they all needed to be thinned.
Mm.
Because if you garden, you know that if you plant a bunch of them, because with the seeds, the very, very small seeds, lots of them don't germinate. So you have to overplant. And then you have to go in and you have to thin. She would take the kids out, especially the smaller ones, and they would thin, like the carrots. They wouldn't do this with potatoes, because obviously you don't plant seed potatoes like this, but you've got your carrots and you've got coming up, and your radishes, mm-hmm. especially, because they'll crowd each other up.
Yeah.
You won't get a single radish, right? And your spinach and, you know, all these different greens that she would grow in her garden, and she'd take the kids out to do the thinning, and she would have them eat the thinnings right there. Not necessarily bring them into the kitchen and clean them.
Just eat
she
them
would have
in the
them
garden.
Eat them right there in the garden. And I, years and years later, as I was studying to be a naturopathic doctor, I would contemplate on Grandma. There was a highly qualified, highly competent professional. She made the medicines for the doctors that traveled from family to family up in that region. She was one of those midwives and apothecaries that made the medicines, because there weren't pharmaceutical companies. They didn't get very much mail order out there.
It was just too expensive.
Well, it just wasn't available. You couldn't get it.
East Coast Medicine. That's what it was called back in the day.
Yeah, East Coast Medicine. And you had to wait for a train to bring it out to you. And we're talking about the beginning of the 20th century here, not that long ago.
Uh-huh.
They didn't buy drugs. There were not a lot of drugs that they could get. And the drugs that they could get came during the time when the rails were open.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the times the doctors had only what their apothecaries could provide for them. And these are the little bottles of things they carried around in their little black bags, right? Well, this is what grandma made for
them. I want one of those.
Yeah, I do too. I saw one on the internet the other day. But this is what she did, and she was highly competent. She knew what she was doing, and they trusted her, and she did a good job. And so grandma, taking the kids out in the garden, she if they ate those thinnings with the mud on them, isn't she causing her children to ingest germs? There's dirt all over these thinnings, right?
Heretic.
Yeah, really, truly. There is dirt all over these thinnings.
Well, I should hope so.
Well, you know, everybody knows that dirt is dirty. Dirt is ew. Dirt is germs. Dirt causes disease. Sanitation is the wonder of the modern world.
Well, there's something funny about that paradigm, too, because great-grandma Dilworth, my great-grandmother on mom's side, though she was meticulous about cleanliness and she would scrub her whole house and wash her hands many, many, many times. This is back when she was living in Hanson, Idaho.
Oh, yeah, her when house she was had, sparkling.
When she had her garden and we'd go out and help her in her garden, we would catch her picking stuff and eating it.
It right in the garden.
Right out of the ground. She wouldn't even brush it off.
The lady who was almost allergic to dirt in her house, but out in her garden, she ate dirt. What's going on there? What were the old people doing? Now, look at the beginning of the 20th century, and you asked this question earlier. What were the things that people, reading from the literature, mm-hmm. reading from people's journals, and reading from, you know, what we had of medical journals at the time, what were the complaints of the digestive system at the turn of the 20th century?
It was acid reflux. They called it
indigestion.
Indigestion.
Yeah, heartburn, acid indigestion.
And constipation.
A lot of constipation, mm-hmm. yep.
And when someone was sick, diarrhea.
Viral diarrhea
mm-hmm.
with the flu now and then.
And
or bad
with,
food.
Yeah,
bad
a little
food.
Bit of spoiled food. Yeah. Not that uncommon, but nothing like the pernicious inflammatory digestive issues that we see today.
I mean, we are seeing today the effects of regular people's guts that have so little mucosa, that mm-hmm. mucus lining of the gut is so thin that their own biome, in other words, that microbiota, the bacteria, the virus, the fungus that live in us, that are so essential to digestion, our own probiotic,
mm-hmm.
as you will,
air quotes.
is literally eating the inside of their intestines, and doctors are calling it an autoimmune disorder because the immune system has to rush in mm-hmm. and try and wipe out your own probiotic. Isn't that weird?
Ergo, inflammation.
Inflammation of the gut. Chronic inflammation of the gut.
Mm-hmm.
Congestive, chronic, degenerative inflammation of the gut. Leaky gut syndrome.
Colitis.
Yeah. And it's not just the gut. It's the reproductive system. It's the lungs. We're getting inflammation in our circulatory systems that have long been controlled by the biome. But now we have autoimmune disorders that are actually attacking the inside structures of our veins, our arteries, the valves, and you know it's an insane situation. So we look back at that time when we were less developed, when we were less advanced. What marked the difference? What marked the difference was in the home diet, in the everyday self-reliant life of people, regular people on the ground. They ate a certain amount of dirt. Now, we're not talking about dirt from the septic system, right?
No.
It has to be understood that kind of dirt is not dirt. It's filth. And sanitation has been a miracle to the human family.
Back in the day, back in grandma's day, great-grandma's day, your grandma's day, sanitation was so poor in the cities that people did die of filth.
Yeah.
Filth-borne disease.
So I'm not advocating dirtiness. But I am saying is that they were connected to the soil in a way that we are not. They were so connected to the soil that they got a certain amount of soil mm-hmm. in the food they ate, and that was probiotic. And this is the very thing that has literally inspired the Nutrico Mafia, that they can make millions, hundreds of gazillions of dollars. I'm telling it an overstatement, I think, but, you know, millions and millions of dollars on something that human beings have done naturally all their lives through the course of human history. Human beings have done this, but now to do it is radical. And I say, this is part of radical self-reliant healing that you can do at home. We can get you started and we can teach you how to do this thing, but, you know, it's a radical thing. It's to make your own probiotic. That's just weird.
To not rely on the corporate nutraceuticals.
Oh, yeah.
Unheard of in the naturopathic community.
I mean, you really have to get in condition. I mean, you have to work out really, really hard to be able to open your mouth and let go of that corporate tit. We suck and we suck and we suck on that corporate tit. And, you know, it really takes some conditioning to exercise the fortitude to get off of that and actually start doing it ourselves.
We've seen that a lot. It's difficult and a lot of times very painful for individuals breaking free of that paradigm.
Oh, a lot of crying, whining, and moaning about, oh, it's so hard.
And then when they do it, they stop needing probiotics from the store. They stop needing enzymes from some nutraceutical company selling them bad stuff.
Right. Let's go there. Remember that. The microbiome, the microbiota in your body are actually those animals that are creating much of the enzymes that we require to digest the foods that we eat.
Yeah.
They are symbiotic. They rely upon the food that we eat to feed them. And so they produce things that lots of the things that we can't produce.
Now here's a little marketing trickery to keep our listeners, our students, whoever, to keep your eyes and ears open for. Just a little bit of marketing trickery that you can watch for next time you're reading a pamphlet or looking on a website about enzymes, particularly when they're posing themselves as educators of enzyme health. It's really easy to find in the human body exactly where enzymes are, air quotes, manufactured by the body. And those centers are very few, technically. And it's a very correct statement to say the human body and the organs of the body produce very few enzymes for digestion. And so
a certain amount.
And so that statement being true fuels the enzyme manufacturing and sales industry.
Well, it's not a lie.
Exactly. What those industries don't tell you is that the vast majority of the enzymes produced within our bodies for proper digestion and metabolism and breakdown of waste products in the body are not produced by the organ systems of our body, but by the microbiota.
By the microbiota of our body. The biome produces them. Very interesting, in that same factory where I watched, where he showed me how they made the probiotics with the teaspoon of dirt out the back door, and you had this huge intestinal tract inside just churning away, making these amazing, amazing miracle probiotics that people swallow in vast numbers.
Bacteria don't have mouth parts. They have receptors and receptor sites.
They're all butt.
The only way for them to digest, to intake a material, a particle, transform it and break its components into consumable material and excrete it is through an enzymatic process.
Right.
So any company, any manufacturer, nutraceutical, or naturopath that tries to tell a sufferer their body does not make enough enzyme, there's not enough enzyme in their body to handle digestion.
Oh, they could be telling the truth at that moment, but it's a crock.
They're telling a statement that on the surface appears to be true, but the context has been warped.
It's been warped, yeah, because he took me through the warehouse to the sister warehouse right next door, where guess what they were making? When you feed the bacteria,
Get a byproduct.
You have to feed this huge intestine with something, right? They're putting soil. They've created the. They took the soil, just a teaspoon. That's all it took, was one little teaspoon. And from there, they leveraged and they leveraged and they leveraged and they expanded and they grew and they grew and they grew. This huge intestine of microbiota, of all these thousands of different kinds. And now they're separating out the ones that are commercially important,
mm-hmm.
separating out the ones that have had research done about them, and they're chucking the rest of them, but not really, because the rest of them they have recognized are so useful. They take them next door, the ones
they're manufacturing powerhouse.
Yeah, you've got 16 or so that you can sell of these probiotics. You can put them in a pill and you can sell 16 or so. All the rest of the 1,000 they take next door and they put in a duplicate system which produces enzymes.
Mm-hmm. And vitamins.
Enzymes and the vitamins. Many of the vitamins that are in the nutraceuticals industry right now are not derived from plants. They're derived from bacteria in the laboratory, and that's what this means. They duplicate mm-hmm. another huge digestive system, and they use the bacteria that should go into the probiotic, but don't have research. They're not big marketing names and big marketing titles, and you can't make a buck with all these things. So they take them next door, and they make a huge variety of vitamins and enzymes. Now they sell these enzymes to the Nutrica Mafia, but not only to the Nutrica Mafia. These enzymes are important in all kinds of digestion, from all the way from making of fabrics, way out to breaking down oil slicks in
esters,
the ocean.
Polymers, tile adhesives.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. The enzymatic action in laboratory is amazing, and it all comes from a huge intestinal system that is essentially identical to the human intestinal system. So what grandma was doing, grandma was teaching her children to make probiotics and eat them and to facilitate the proper production in the body and the balance of the enzymes that probiotic produces. Mm-hmm. So now, as a naturopath and as a physiopath yourself, we sit here and we have sick people who live in the city who are sucking off the corporate tit. They have decided the corporations are more qualified to decide for them what is food and what is not. And so that's their purchasing. That's what they voted on, is the corporate food.
Mm-hmm.
They go to
it's
the corporate.
Easier to get.
Oh, it is. They go and they buy corporate food, and that corporate food is devoid, has to be by law, has to be devoid of all these organisms, so they sterilize it.
Apart from the handful few, the select few.
Yeah, well, that are allowed. But
food in general has to be sterilized. You're right.
Packaged food has to come out sterile. I mean, you can't have even the slightest bit of E. coli in anything, even though E. coli in the right place in your body is absolutely important. And you die without it. No, okay, I'm gonna grant you. You put that in the wrong part of your body, and you die with it. I mean, you know, E. coli is not gonna hurt your butt, but it's not gonna do great in your mouth. Can we say butt? Butt. Can we say butt on the? We can say butt on the radio. Inside your colon, E. coli, that end part of your colon, that's where it belongs, and it does a fantastic job producing what it's supposed to produce out there. But you turn around and you eat some feces, which I do not recommend, by the way. Very bad thing to do. Don't do this. But if you get some fecal material in your food somehow,
right? Yeah.
Then you have E. coli in the upper digestive tract, or God forbid, in the respiratory tract. Mm-hmm. And you will die.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So don't do that. It's a bad thing. Don't eat your poo. Sanitation, very, very important. But does that mean that soil, you see, your garden soil is not coming out of your septic tank, is it?
Or at least it shouldn't.
Even when we use barn manures, even when we use composts, the biota in the soil digests and breaks this material down and makes it safe over time. It can even make that stuff safe. I wouldn't go swim in a pool of it before the earth has had a chance to really digest it. But I really would not object to anybody going and burying themselves in a really well-made, well-digested, well-broken-down compost heap. And what's in that compost heap? When you take a handful of that compost and you put it up to your nose, it smells clean.
Finished compost? Oh, you know, yeah.
It doesn't just smell not dirty. It doesn't just not smell like rot. It smells like clean laundry on the line.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what the earth does with soil. That's because, you know, and the bacteria in the soil, those of us that are gardeners and earth healers too, the bacteria in the soil where you live is what you need in your gut for your health. So here's another question. Does it make sense for me to buy black soil probiotic from Hawaii?
No.
Does it make sense for me to buy it from India?
No.
Does it make sense for me to buy it in Chicago? That's the Midwest, right?
Too far.
Why shouldn't I make it at home? It's too hard, right? Don't do it wrong.
And pretty stinky, actually.
Well, there's a way to, you know, you could make it the old way that we used to.
Handled properly.
It's perfectly fine. Fine. But there is another way. There's another way that is amazing. I want to talk about that. But first of all, take a little break. I would like to make sure that we read, for those of our listeners who are actually in the Springfield, Missouri area, we have offices here. And we want to help people to learn these things. That is what we do.
Mm-hmm.
We are specializing in radical, self-reliant healing. And so we're the helpers who get your who put your foot on the path. We get you started. We give you a leg up. And that makes it possible for you to go forward and do so much at home. Once we've had, a sit down and we do a whole health evaluation with a person or a family, and we get an idea what's going on, we'll probably see them for a month or two, follow-ups.
Yeah, until they're.
But then you know what? I don't expect really to want to see them again for several months. I would really rather see a person. I'd rather get a person to where there's a balance that I might see them once or twice a year. That's not the way it is with your doctor now.
Nah. In most natural health practices, people go into a clinic, natural health clinic, and they're merely supplanting their white pills with green pills of various kinds.
Right. Once you are going to a natural health care practitioner, you are swallowing their stuff for the duration, for the rest of your life. You're going to swallow something.
I would rather, as a physiopath, I would rather get them off white pills and green pills entirely with a good program.
Yeah, a food, maybe some supplements for a while.
But only until they're on top of the matter with their food and their lifestyle.
Exactly. So for probiotic, let's take a person. First of all, I'm going to read a number because I want people here who are in Springfield or Missouri or, are locals who have the ability to get here and come visit with someone. I want them to know where to go. Where our offices are located in A Pathway to Healing, which is located right off of Glenstone in Springfield. So you go to Cherokee, and Cherokee can either go west into the burb, into the houses, or if you turn left, it's like it's turning right into a parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it is. So, I mean, if you turn east, I get my rights and my lefts. But if you're heading south on Glenstone and you get to Cherokee, which is right there at the end of the Tower Plaza, and you turn and you get to Cherokee and you turn left, there's a strip mall exactly to your right. You're driving right along the front windows of the T part of the Tower Strip Mall. Pathway to Healing is located just 3 doors down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're right there already. As soon as you make the turn, you'll see there's a flower shop. First of all, there's a Christian Science reading room, then there's a flower shop, and then there's a Pathway to Healing, and our offices are in that complex right there.
Mm-hmm.
And to get a hold of us to make an appointment, because we would want you to come in and get a whole health evaluation, not just your digestion, not just your sinuses, not just your skin, not just your achy back or your injury, but a whole health evaluation, because there is internal natural medicine going on here, naturopath, physiopath, but there's also body work going on here, and there's energy work, and we even have sound healing.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of things going on and several different kinds of body work going on. You know, Dave does the Dave Schinelli method of Ilatz Kowat, and you know, he's trained you in that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like you do a Ilatz Kowat Peyitz and the Schinelli method and several other methods. He's trained Julie Crow. She's trained in his method,
mm-hmm.
and she's here for that. And you know, there's me with the use the microvideography and we learn what your body is telling you through the language that your blood is actually speaking right in real time. And there are 25 different markers, metabolic markers and hormonal markers, cardiolipo markers, stress markers, inflammation markers,
mm-hmm.
immune system markers. There are so many things that are immediately told right here in the office instantaneously in that whole health evaluation. So
just today we were able to establish what kind of treatment, what kind of protocol would be necessary between an allergic inflammation, an allergic inflammatory response, or a different kind, an infection-based inflammatory response. Totally different markers under dark field.
You would approach that logically in natural medicine. You'd approach an allergic reaction, an allergic inflammation, differently than you would a bacterial inflammation, differently
Correct.
Than you would a
yeah.
viral inflammation
mm-hmm.
or fungal inflammation. So how helpful, how useful is that to be able to instantly differentiate between those and not make, you know, 3 weeks of mistakes and say, oh, well, you know, maybe it isn't your usual hay fever after all. Maybe we really need to look at it. And that's 3 weeks too late, right?
Right.
So that's something that's part of what I do. We also have the compounding apothecary. We know how to make the medicines. We don't send to the corporations and ask their permission to be healers. We don't send to the corporations, to the Nutrico Mafia, for their opinion of the best way to present medicines, sacramental, sacred healing herbs and medicines and supplements to the body. We make them. We can have them immediately available and custom formulated for the individual. So there's no reaching back on the shelf and pulling down a sinus product. No, it is we formulate a product for the sacrament product for the individual who's not a cookie cutter man, does not need a cookie cutter supplement,
and doesn't need 24 capsules for a therapeutic dose of the choice herbs necessary for treatment.
Right, right. The research says take this mud pie; it'll be good for that condition, but you got to take a pickup load of it, you know, in the way they present it, because it's not convenient to do anything but capsules. We'll
mm-hmm.
talk about capsules in a minute. But if you have an interest, and I know that you do, you want to be well, and you are sick and tired of the runaround of allopathic medicine and the pharmacomafia and the corporations telling you what you have to do and not telling you why or not telling you what, but throwing things in your face to swallow, what I want you to do is pick up the telephone tomorrow, or, you know, whenever it's convenient for you, and call 417-808-0538. That's 417-808-0538. Now, that's a personal telephone. It's a business cell phone, but it will get you right directly to scheduling, right directly to a practitioner here in the apothecary to make an appointment for you for a whole health evaluation. Thereafter, what we love to do is make this affordable for people, because that's one of the issues that we've talked about a lot. How do we make this thing affordable? We will set up a sensitive financial plan for you where you decide the payment, the monthly payment within reason that you
mm-hmm.
can actually handle per month. so that you and your family can come in and enjoy the benefits of natural healing, which is something that most families cannot afford to do. It's just too expensive all at once.
Right. Yeah. And there's no insurance to cover natural health care.
There never will be.
Never
I'm
will
sure
be.
Of it.
Nope.
You know, there are some that are touting it, but they're coming up bad across the board. It is not happening. The reports that we're getting is that they're just as bad as any other insurance company. So we're not ever going to have them. What we're going to do is provide our own health plan. Now let the world and politics and whoever make as much money as they want to on their ideas. But we're going to go back to grandma's ideas and those doctors who worked with her. They, it was just essential. It was absolutely essential, not only for them to make a living, but to stay in complete connection with their community, to work very closely with their families. And we want to get back to that. We want to create a society and a community of healing, self-reliant healing, because we can kickstart, we can help the family get going again. And most of what we teach, you got to do at home, because it's the body's intrinsic healing ability that we're interested in igniting here. So call 417-808-0538. That's 417-808-0538. And ask for Jonathan or Dr. Landis. And we'll schedule you. We'll get you in and we'll get started on this. So, probiotics. I'll tell you the best way to make probiotics in our time.
And it's fun.
It's fun. It's fun because it handles a couple of other things that are pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about some of the other things that it just handily takes care of that you would normally go spend thousands and thousands of dollars to pay for, but you do it right on your deck or in your living room, mm-hmm. or wherever you set this unit up. In the old days, I mean, just a few years ago, I would have you go out just like that guy at the factory and take a spoonful mm-hmm. of soil from your own garden. And I would have you put that spoon to, this is going to sound gross to a lot of people, but you know, I just have to say it. You're duplicating what your probiotic company does for you and doesn't tell you. You take that teaspoon of soil and you put it in a gallon of water, warm water, not hot, but warm.
Mm-hmm.
And you put 2 tablespoons of honey in there. And then you put some cheesecloth and a rubber band around the top of that bottle, and you put it in your coat closet. Like you were making vinegar, right?
Yep.
And it'll foam, and all that bacteria, those thousands of types of bacteria, will grow. And then they'll stabilize, and they'll stop foaming. And you take another teaspoon of honey, and you put it in there, and you let it foam again. And then it'll stabilize, and even make some alcohol,
mm-hmm.
which will so stabilize the bacteria that what you have are the seeds of all those species, and you have killed all of the pathologicals. So now, here's the quid pro quo. This method did not go over very big with very many people. Why not? You know why not.
I know why.
You've been around. What do we call this?
Gag water.
It smells like.
It smells bad.
It
yeah.
smells bad. It smells kind of like a sewer.
It's not like. It doesn't smell like when you're fermenting a mead or a wine or a homemade beer or something like
it's
that.
It's dirt.
Yeah.
You're smelling the bacteria
yeah.
eating the honey.
Yeah.
You don't. Now, people don't do this. You know, how many people have we actually. I mean, the weirdos, the fringe element wackos out
yeah.
there will actually
not
do this thing. And in that case, we are getting a probiotic that is 1,000 times better than anything you can buy, and you're getting it for the rest of your life for free.
And just for some perspective, a gallon of finished probiotic ferment.
Oh my
last
God.
Years.
Yeah, yeah. What you do is you take a dropper and you put 5 droppers of that liquid in your little tub, your little serving of yogurt, and you stir it up and you eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the therapeutic dose. You are getting thousands of times more than any probiotic you can buy. Any of them. Okay, so nobody does this for obvious reasons.
I don't get it.
We do, but you know, we're it. We are us. Some
we
people will do
it.
It's simple to do. Simple to do. But here's another way to do it. We have another member of our family who's a healer, an earth healer, and he built small family size aquaponics units.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can go down and you can buy these for, I think one of our friends was saying she just bought one. She's a distributor for her company. It was like $925.
Yeah, because she had to buy the equipment separately.
Yeah, all the pump and all the she's a distributor for some company that has one of these in their catalog, and she bought this aquaponics unit and it's never come out of the box. But she spent a lot of money on it. Jeshua builds these for much less, so that a family can actually have one in their house. And one of these units, you do the two tower unit like we set up with our friends today. It's like having a small salad garden there.
Yeah.
Right there. No weeding, you know, precious few bugs, and you are producing the nutrient in a little mini pond below it. And the footprint's about 2 square feet.
Yeah.
And the tower goes up, and there's 40 some odd pots.
Grow pots
for 40 some odd plants that you are feeding with live thing, and you're putting yourself right back into the closed biological circle of life.
As Jeshua puts it, huge output, huge connection to your food, huge lazy factor.
Huge lazy factor, and pretty low cost. I mean, it's just a fraction of what these corporations are charging. You remember when we went to Ohio and Ignacio made the ceviche?
Yes.
Do you remember
fantastic.
Do you remember how he processed that fish?
Mm-hmm.
What did he do? Now, this is raw fish. This is a South American delicacy. Mm-hmm. It's some of the finest food I've ever eaten. Takes raw fish.
He took a highly acidic brine and rubbed salt and citrus and rubbed it with his bare hands. Massaged it into the fish.
Rubbed it with his bare hands into the fish.
Which he very specifically mentioned could not be washed beforehand.
You're not allowed to wash your hands.
Or it would not work.
Yeah, now that doesn't mean that you're filthy. But
No.
You don't sterilize your hands before you make ceviche. And what you're doing there is you are instantly creating a massive reproductive cycle of bacteria that is on your hands that actually goes right into digesting the meat and cooking the meat with bacteria so that it's not really raw meat. You have enzymatic action in that marvelous dish, and it's amazing.
And then you have the whole process finished by the citric and ascorbic acid
from the brine, and then you have your onions, and it's just amazing stuff. Well, here's what you do with your aquaponics. Take your hands, your body, your home,
especially
your environment.
In the dirt. Play the dirt first.
Your environment. In other words, the soil of your own landscape. Mm-hmm. And you wash them in the water, the little pool, the pot at the bottom that's full of water, the aquarium. Wash them and shake the water off down in that water. Guess what you're doing? Over the course of time, and it'll take about 3 months, you have just created a probiotic that is not specific to Chicago or Hawaii or India. It's specific to your house, what you exactly need. The thousands of different kinds that is grown in the biota of the gravel, of the medium that is inside the grow tower, because the pump is taking that water, taking it up and feeding and feeding and feeding. The plants that are growing out of the tower, that are the roots are in this medium, are taking up that biota, that whole microbiome that you put in there by handling it like it was ceviche, and then you're eating the plant.
Well, it's easily missed how plants actually digest their food. It's just as accurate a statement to say the plants produce very few enzymes of their own to break down biomatter and consume the materials. They rely on the symbiotic relationship with microbiota in their environment.
Exactly.
Taking advantage of that is replicating what's happening in our own digestive system in an enclosed aquaponic system.
In an aquaponic system. So in that system, you have animals, aquatic animals,
And that's very, very important. But before the aquatic animals are there, or right about the same time as they're getting situated, the stones, the medium of the system, are being coated by a jelly-like substance. It's clear to kind of almost brownish sometimes. That jelly-like substance is very similar to the gels that are produced by the bacteria in the soil. The plants get their nutrient from these gels, not from the inert soil.
Nope.
Those by...
Not from the water running by.
No, no, they don't. The bacteria and the fungi in the soil are what take the minerals out of the inert earth, put them, and they use enzymes to break this stuff down. What the plants are delivering in their roots are sugars. They're delivering sugars to the bacteria. The bacteria are eating the sugars and providing the plants with nutrients, their minerals and their nutrients. So when you grow plants in this medium, you are mimicking that closed environment, and you're putting your hands back into the production of your food. So we put some little animals, some aquatic animals in there, because the bacteria require ammonia.
Yes.
They just die off and wait if they don't have some ammonia source. So we'll put little yabbies, little crawdads,
mm-hmm.
or snails or something like that. And they will eat literally the beetles that fall into the water. So you don't even have to feed these things. They eat the beetles that can't get out of the water.
Yeah, because we're dealing with little tanks here. So
yeah,
not something
not
big,
big
enough to grow an eating fish.
No, this is a footprint of about...
2 feet.
2 feet, not even that much. 2 square feet, 1.5 square.
Yeah.
So they eat these. They produce ammonia. And, they produce a little bit of ammonia in the waste that they make in their digestive system. But mainly it's in breathing. The ammonia they produce is from their gills, from their breathing apparatus. Mm-hmm. So that goes into the water and is taken up into the gravel medium. And the bacteria that is coating all of those rocks instantly begin to turn that ammonia into nitrite. And then another set of bacteria that's also there in that gel instantly begin to transform that nitrite into nitrate, which is plant food.
Mm-hmm.
It's the energy food for plants. And then also there's the trace minerals and other nutrients that are going up into the plants. So here you have it. You have your garden without the burden, without the drudgery and the heat and the weeding and the rabbits and the deer, and you have your salad
mm-hmm.
that you eat from and provide for your whole family, and you have
and
your
you
probiotic.
And you don't wash these plants. There's no need to wash them.
Well, you can even wash them off a little bit, but you're not washing them.
You're not sterilizing.
The probiotic
yeah.
is not on the outside. It's in the mm-hmm. tissues of the plants. So then you're eating the probiotic, and you're getting an absolutely therapeutic dose of thousands of kinds in millions and millions and millions. This is amazing stuff, and you're not buying $50-$60 worth of probiotic every month and hoping that some of it is working, some of those 3 or 4 or 5 that you have in there,
yeah.
those little groups, millions and millions and millions of the same ones. You have the entire balanced biome of your body because you inoculated it.
The kind of balance you would have eating right out of the garden, eating
right
the thinnings
out the
right out of
yeah.
the garden.
Right. So what if you are completely disbalanced? What if you don't have the biome? First of all, why would you not have any of the biome?
In a high-rise apartment, taking only commercial food.
Sucking the corporate tit, that's
yeah.
right.
And traveling only by vehicle with maybe 20 seconds between one building to the next.
And washing yourself 3 or 4 times or anywhere you go
yeah.
with antibacterial garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in that case, you're going to want to get on your jogging shorts. I don't know, do people jog in shorts anymore? I'm coming from the 70s here. But get out in the outdoors. Take a long walk through the forest. Okay?
Take a weekend.
And when you're out there in the woods, mm-hmm. not in the neighborhood, because who knows what dogs or cats
right,
are
yeah.
dropping their stuff, right?
Yeah, woods.
Get out of the woods. Pick up some dirt. Okay? And I don't mean cover your body with dirt and get a bunch of bug bites, but just pick up some dirt in your hands, rub it in your hands, and then brush it all off. Now go
and wash with just water, but keep a teaspoon of that water. Just a teaspoon of it. Put it in a little baggie or something. Put it in your car or wherever, a little bottle. Take it home and pour it into your aquaponics unit, and you've got it. You've got local, radical, local, free and abundant and reliant probiotics. That is radical self-reliant healing. And that, my friend, is what I'm talking about. So once again, I want to plug our operation here. I want to plug our clinic. We operate in offices out of Pathway to Healing right here in Springfield. And if you are in Springfield, we have open houses and seminars that we have that we throw on Saturdays, every other Saturday. We try to.
Mm-hmm.
We really would like to. We have a little conference room. There's room for people to sit and learn some of these amazing truths. And we've had two of them now. And we've met some great people. And then those are every other Saturday. And we have a calendar. And that's on a website, isn't it? The calendar
on
events.
A newsletter.
On the newsletter. Yeah. And you can get our newsletter by
going to www.apathwaytohealing.com. Or our other newsletter is on www.nemenha.org. The newsletter, these links can be found on both websites' homepages, right on front.
Pathways, Pathway to Healing or Pathways?
A Pathway to Healing.
A Pathway to Healing.com or nemenha.com or .org, not .com, but .org. Go on to our newsletters. And we've got some calendars there to tell you what's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And on Tuesdays, every Tuesday night, we have a meditation night. And this is not your regular meditation. Well, I don't know if it's regular or not. I don't know if it's irregular or not. This is wind walking.
It's ours.
Yeah, it's the Menha meditation,
yeah.
And it is wind walking. And we're teaching people to do this in the old Sahaptin way. And it's not only a lot of fun, but it's really, really beneficial and pretty amazing. So that's Tuesday nights, 7:30, and you know, give us a call at 417-808-0538. That's 417-808-0538. 417-808-0538. Every time you listen to one of these radio shows, they always say the phone number three times, and I've never known why. I guess it's because, you know, we're just not paying attention the first two times, but they always do that. They always say 417-808-0538. It is the number. Call us, and we will schedule you for a whole health evaluation. We can talk about our whole health, our sensitive family health plan. Because, you know, frankly, we're sick of hearing about, you know, repeal and replace or whatever they're going to end up with, because we in the natural healing community know that that is never, ever, ever going to address complementary and alternative medicine.
Nope.
Since that is the practice of our religion, we feel it is our responsibility to provide a way whereby people, families, can afford this stuff, because the country doesn't care. The pharmaceutical companies don't care. The nutraceutical companies don't care. They're selling stuff. What we're trying to do is teach radical self-reliant healing. But there's another issue about, and we have a few more minutes to talk about this. We're not done yet. I just lost where the timer is. So about 20 minutes. So we've got some time. I want to talk about what I see very often when I take and, you know, I help a person make a video presentation of their own blood. They take a drop of blood and we make a CD, you know, a movie of their blood that they get to look at and they get to learn about. And then we discuss what is printed, recorded there in their movie of their blood. The blood speaks a language that is amazing. There are at minimum 25 key indicators, as I said earlier. And so we look at that disc, and probably about 40, maybe a little more, maybe a little more than 40% of the time I see in their disc, in their movie presentation, heavy metals. There are certain of the heavy metals that your metallurgists have taught us how to identify by their refractory index.
Well, dark field microscopy was specifically designed in its original application for metallurgy.
Metallurgy. So it doesn't surprise us in an aqueous solution that when we see aluminum, we can identify aluminum.
Right.
When we see zinc, we can identify zinc and copper and cadmium and a number of other things. Unfortunately, we can't see mercury at all. It has no spectral index, but it's usually always bound to cadmium, which does. So in a little more than 40% of everybody, I see significant amounts of aluminum. I see a lot of copper. In fact, it's an epidemic. And these things in certain amounts in your body do absolutely nothing.
Right.
No, they're absolutely apathogenic, no problem at all. Don't worry about the metals in your body unless you have a poisoning, and those are huge amounts, you know. And then you can go to your doctor, and your doctor won't know a beans from straight up about what to do with it. They'll give you drugs recommended by the corporate tit. And very often we're finding and talking to people on the telephone about these kinds of poisonings, they don't fix the problem.
Nope.
What happens is that you bump up above, you can carry a huge amount of this stuff in your body, and then all of a sudden you bump up above the symptom threshold and everything starts to fall apart. So the strategy then would be in natural medicine, in natural healing, we ministers of natural healing will develop strategies to bring you back down past that threshold and try and get as much of that out of your body as we possibly can. Now, the pharmaceutical way of doing this is with EDTA chelation.
Mm-hmm.
And that requires an invasive intravenous...
Oh, and there's a lot of hype out there about it, too.
It is actually recommended by the FDA for lead poisoning.
And mercury.
And mercury.
Yep.
And it handles it pretty well. But there are some drawbacks or some... There's some very definite problems with the kidneys. This is something that uses the kidneys to flush out the metals.
Correct.
So the assumption is that it's going to work on everything because it's being used for fat and cholesterol in the circulatory system and for lead and mercury. But it doesn't do much for things like aluminum. And folks, if you live in one of our modern constructions with sheetrock, aluminum is your issue. It's our building materials where we're getting most of that. And copper, if you color your hair, ladies, or you use any makeup at all, cadmium and copper are where you're getting your metals from. Okay, so how do we get the metals out? Well, traditionally, we make a supplement, a sacrament that is high in sulfur. We like to use the digestive system, the liver and the bowel, instead of the kidneys and the urinary tract, because with the liver and the bowel, there aren't any side effects. We don't damage anything. But sulfur bonds to the metals. The liver dumps that, causes it to be dumped down to the gallbladder, into the bowel, out the body it comes.
Yeah, part of the trouble with heavy metals is there are no natural organisms, no natural enzymatic processes in the body that can identify and break down heavy metal particulates.
Right. Yeah.
But there are loads, lots of them, that handle and transfer and eliminate sulfur.
Sulfur can bond. It does bond to a lot of things. In fact, one of the byproducts or one of the subgroups of sulfur compounds in the body is glutathione in the brain, and it is the principal antioxidant for the brain. Glutathione cannot be manufactured in the brain without sulfur. We put a form of sulfur in the aquaponics unit.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a lot of time to talk about that right now, but we do. We'll put a certain amount of sulfur in the water. It is carried right to those bacterial gels that coat every rock of the medium all the way up the tower. It is taken up by the plant itself, carried into the structure, the cellular structure of the plant, which transforms it into an ionic sulfur, and then you eat the plant.
Yeah, we used to do this with sprouts.
Sprouting.
We used to mix the sulfur concentrates into sprouts, and the sprouts would take up a certain amount, and then it would end up being quite expensive. Lots and lots of expensive trees.
But there again, you eat the sprouts, mm-hmm. and you'd be $400 into it in 4 months.
Yeah.
You would just do this, and using the liver to remove metals with sulfur in plants is an amazing strategy. It is simply amazing. But get this. We can do the same thing in an aquaponics unit and not make nasty-tasting concentrated plant anything. You just eat your salad, and you are chelating. You're literally taking the metals that have sequestered in the fats of your body, and you're moving it out by eating vegetables. Well, what's the byproduct? What's the downside to eating fresh green vegetables?
The downside?
There is no downside, right? There's no downside to eating fresh vegetables, right? It's a huge upside. It's highly alkalizing, and the phytonutrients that you're getting will just turn your life around. So you live in an apartment, you work in a corporation, you drive your car back and forth, and if you predominantly eat gas station food, you got to have one of these in your house so that you can at least get on top of this. This would be the supplement of choice. Chelation, probiotic, mm-hmm. and highly alkalizing, high degree of phytonutrient, green leafy vegetables at your fingertips without the drudgery of gardening. This is something that can be indoors in the winter or out on your deck in the winter in the summertime.
And total,
oh my gosh,
complete radical self-reliant healing.
Oh, yeah, this is in your house, right?
This is stuff that grows continuously. You're not stuck to, you're not trapped by reliance upon a single product.
Yeah.
That you just have to take to the end of time.
To the end of time. And here's the thing. What do they put that probiotic and that chelate? You can go buy plant chelates that claim to take the metals out, but what do they put them in? How do you take them?
Always a pill.
You always take them in a capsule. Now, of course, we've got to have animal-free, mm-hmm. gluten-free capsules. And so we get these vegetable capsules. And Jonathan, you are in manufacture, and you've studied some of this stuff, and you've tracked it down, the sources. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the capsules, the vegetable capsules that most of the companies are using to put this garbage in that people are swallowing.
Well, it's derived from a couple of sources. One is a semi-synthetic byproduct of agar glue, of the agar gel product, the seaweed. Specific certain kind
just
of seaweed.
So that's a plant. Yeah. We're okay. We haven't killed any animals.
This
we have no gluten.
This is a byproduct of that industry. In addition to cellulose industry, which comes from industrial wood pulp for the manufacture of paper.
Right.
The manufacturing byproducts from both can be recombined and made into a semi-synthetic substance called hypromolose.
Hypromolose.
Which is, even if it's not named on the labels, most of your vegetable gel capsules, because that's what they can say. They can say vegetarian gel capsules.
Because
gel
they are. They're
because
plants,
they are totally,
so they're gel.
Totally
right.
Vegetarian.
Yeah.
Most, the vast majority of these capsules on the market are derived from those two sources combined into hypromolose.
Okay, so hypromolose is a good thing. Hypromolose is wonderful.
There's
then, right?
A number of amazing uses, ranging from pharmaceutical glues to tile adhesive to eye lubricants to lubricant systems in manufacturing equipment.
What? But these are veggie caps.
Yeah, so.
They're good, aren't they?
It's cheap.
We're not killing any animals, and there's no gluten, so they have to be good for you.
They're cheap.
Let me tell you
very
what,
cheap.
Let me tell you what else they do. Because of the nature of this stuff, when they get into your system, they have a very detrimental effect on an environment upon which all your probiotic that you're swallowing, that you're spending oodles on off the corporate tit, depends. That layer of mucus that coats the inside of your digestive tract. Now, this is a very, very important little environment because we do have these thousands of types and groups of organisms bacteria that do all this wonderful work in us that we call probiotic. But without this mucus layer, they would be just as inclined to eat the proteins of our intestines than the proteins coming down from the Big Mac we ate, right? Just as, in fact, probably...
The one I didn't eat.
The quote, the air quote, Big Mac. They'd probably be more inclined to eat a good quality source of protein like your intestines. And so what the body in its wisdom has done in a gel, just like the bacterial gels produced by the soil, we have created a coating, or rather a layer of gel, of mucus gel, in which virus reside. And these are very special virus. They're virus that have literally, they have evolved right along with us, or were created, whichever you believe, right in us to do a certain thing. These are bacteriophages. These are virus that only eat the bacteria that try to get through to eat you. Now, the capsules thin this mucosa.
Yes.
They take it away. They adhere to it, and then they're deposited in the chyme, and they take it completely out of the body.
Yeah, and here's a basic, basic...
No. My point is, when the mucosa is thinned, we lose those bacteriophages, and the actual probiotic, even some that you're swallowing, is eating you and causing that inflammatory process that we talked about earlier.
Right. Yeah, I have heard on occasion that people will make the argument that the gel from the capsule merely mingles with the gel-like substance on the inside of the intestines. And I'm here to tell you that is abject falsehood.
It's just absolutely untrue.
Cellulose gel, methylcellulose gel, hypromelose gel, as the product of digestion, is not digestible.
No.
And it does mix with the mucus. It does mix with the gel, and it renders the gel inhospitable for bacterial growth, inhospitable
for viral
growth and digestion in general. Your body will then expel the undigestible material and carry a huge amount of your own interstitial gelling factor, your mucosal lining, with your excrement.
It expels it. It dumps it. And so what ends up happening is that layer becomes very thin, very thin indeed, and there's not enough bacteriophage activity, and you really do begin to have chronic inflammatory decomposition of the intestines. This is an autoimmune disorder. Your body has to try and protect you against your own microbiota. Swallowing a whole bunch of probiotic does tend to help to a certain degree.
To a certain degree, yeah.
To a certain degree, because the probiotics will help to balance those that are more proteolytic. They balance. But the capsules that people are swallowing are literally bringing about chronic inflammation, not only in the gut, but the corresponding inflammation that happens when all this stuff passes through the gut into the bloodstream. So here we are obsessing on not putting the glue of gluten into your body, and yet you're putting the glue of, you know, tile adhesive and contact lenses and industrial lubricants, and you're putting these kinds of things in your body in place of gluten, and does it make any sense to do that? It doesn't. Why do you eat these things?
I don't.
No, but you have to ask. Why? Why do you eat these things? Stop. Go back to what our grandparents did. Take the benefit of this amazing technology that we live in today and apply it with the amazing wisdom of our grandparents and our great-grandparents. That would be the wedding, the marriage of the best of two worlds. And we would recover. We would have radical self-reliant recovery in the family of the scourge of our time, the scourge of inflammation on many levels. It really is the scourge of our time.
I love Michael Pollan's In Defense of Food. I absolutely love the documentary. Yeah. I love the book. But more important than any of all that stuff, which is a huge amount of experiential science and data, and just plain common sense and some good logic.
Yeah, just and some humor thrown in too.
Boiling it all down to the three elements of the basic rule of health.
The rule of the diet.
Mm-hmm.
Eat real food. Don't go to the corporations for your food. Why do you eat that when you know that it's bad? Don't go to the corporations for permission to eat garbage. Eat real food, which means you got to make food, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have to get back to making our food. This whole convenience is bullshit. I can't say
you
that,
can't
right?
Say
Can
that.
I say that? No, I can't say it. It's just a bunch of bull. Okay, it's inconvenient. But it's also inconvenient to have Crohn's colitis. It's also mm-hmm. inconvenient to have leaky gut. It's inconvenient to have autoimmune disorders. It's inconvenient to have the inside of your veins eaten up with inflammation and your organs dying from inflammation. From where? From corporate tit. Get off of it. The second part of the rule is make that food mostly plant.
Yeah.
You can do this at home and only at home, because if you eat out there off the corporate tit, it will not be mostly plant, and the plant material that is there isn't plant anymore. It's so highly processed that we can't even call it plant anymore.
Yep.
So eat real food, mostly plant. And the final one?
I love that one.
What is it?
Not too much.
Don't eat too much. There's my big one. I make food, and it's real food. And
mostly plant.
Mostly plant.
Yeah, mostly
and it's
plant.
Delicious because I'm learning how to use spices.
And
I eat way too much.
Yeah.
Okay, so folks, if we can learn that rule, we will be way ahead. I'm going to give you that phone number again to call. Just in case I haven't just beat this dead horse into death.
I'm
going to
take
death.
The memo away from
the
you.
Memo. It is, come and visit us. We would like to introduce you to this radical way of reobtaining health, regaining your health, and then maintaining your health by yourself at home with just a little bit of help. With a little bit of help from competent, qualified ministers of natural medicine. 417-808-0538. Ask for Jonathan. Ask for Cloudpiler or Dr. Landis. And get scheduled to come in and do a whole health analysis, a whole health evaluation, so that we can see what we can do, so that we can build a protocol that is your protocol.
Or if you're too far away, give us a call so that we can help you form a plan that you can execute locally with what resources are available to you.
Sure, it's not as good as coming into the office,
of course
but
not.
We can talk to you over the telephone and help you understand your body and what you need to do to regain control.
Mm-hmm.
And get away from the bondage, because that really is what it is. There is a slavery, an absolute slavery in the corporate food. It people are sick, and it's not their choice to be sick. It's their choice to eat, though.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to ask, why do you eat that? Why do you eat that? Eat food, mostly plant. And not too much. And while you're at it, if it's in a bag, bottle, box, or can, be sure to read the label and make sure, you know, really know what you're putting in your body, because those labels, oh my gosh, scary, scary, scary. 417-808-0538. apathwaytohealing.com or nemenha.org. Find out what's going on and come and visit with us right here in Springfield, or tune in again. We have these radio shows every Tuesday evening. And it's been a wonderful time. Jonathan, do you have anything else to add to our evening tonight?
Just have a pleasant evening, everybody who's listening, and walk sacred.
Walk sacred, folks, and we'll talk to you next time.